Okay, Perek, Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chav Beis, page 174. The story up to now, Yaakov Avinu sent all the gifts to Esav, and he says to them, make a space between the group and group, and you should say to them that Yaakov Avinu is following. He's following behind. Okay, so now he says in Pasuk Chav Beis, Vataver Amincha Al Panov, the gift passed literally means in front of him. And Yaakov Avinu slept that night in the camp. Rashi says an interesting thing. What does it mean, Alpanov? Simply Alpanov means in front of him. But Rashi brings down the Medrash that says Alpanov is like when you get angry, it shows in the face. But Yaver Amincha Alpanov, Rashi says Yaakov was angry that he had to do all this. He was angry that he had to do all this, and he got angry. Another interpretation that the Mefarshim say is not that he got angry, but he was upset with himself that he doubted Hashem's bracha to him that he's going to come back peacefully. So different interpretations exactly what it means, Alpanav, that he was upset. But even, nevertheless, he was upset that he had to do it. Either angry, Rashi learns he was mamish angry. Other people say that he was actually upset that he had to do it.
Tzaddikim get angry?
Huh?
Tzaddik could get angry?
Well, not that he showed open anger. It was upset. Tzaddik can get upset, yeah.
Everything is for the good. How do you get upset?
No, he was upset. Listen, in Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry many times at the Jews. Hashem got angry at the Jews. It says in Halacha that if a person has to get angry at their kids, they're not allowed to be really angry. They only are allowed to show anger. Down deep, they have to be calm. They just have to get their kids to think that they're angry, and therefore they get angry. But not that they're really angry. When Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, Rashi brings down that he forgot the Halacha, and the Lozer had to remind him. It doesn't say here Yaakov got angry. Yaakov Avinu was upset that he had to do it. And that's what Rashi says. Either because some people say that not that he was angry at somebody else that he had to do this, but they bring down from the Shemesh Shmuel says that he was upset at himself for doubting all the brachas that Hashem gave him and all the promises Hashem gave him. Another interpretation that the Abarbanel learns, what does it mean, Vayavar Mincha Alpanov? So the Abarbanel learns simply, he checked it over, it went by him, he surveyed it to make sure that it was exactly what he wanted to do and to send. He slept that night in the camp. What's the Pasuk saying, he slept that night in the camp? What's it excluding? He slept in the camp and not where else. So the Mefarshim say, the Ramban learns to teach us that he didn't sleep in the camp. In the tent. Meaning, he was ready for war even in the middle of the night that they might come to him. So therefore, he didn't sleep like you would normally in a tent. He slept inside the camp. Another Mefarshim learned that what does it mean by machana? He means it was mamish davening a whole night. He was actually davening a whole night that Hashem should save him. Okay. Now, it says, Vayakum Balailahu, he got up that night, Vayikach, in the middle of the night. Balailahu, by the way, means, normally you get up in the morning, Vayashkim Avram Babaker. Here, Yaakov Avinu, the Medrash says, couldn't sleep, because he was worried what was going to be with Esav and this whole thing. So, Vayakum Balailahu, he got up in the middle of the night, Vayikach Eshtei Noshav, he took his two wives, and the two maidservants, meaning he took Rachel and Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah, and his 11 children, because Binyamin wasn't born yet. So he had 11 sons. We'll soon see what happened with Dina. And he passed Maver Yabek, the ford, the passing of Yabok. Yabok was the name. In fact, they bring down what's it called now, Nadez Zirko, or whatever, whichever way you pronounce it. What happened over here is, Yaakov Avinu Mamish was ready now for war. Okay? He took and he crossed him over on the other side of the river. Now, here the question is, who did Yaakov Avinu take first? Did he take his wives first, or did he take the kids first? Because here the Pasuk interestingly says that he took first his wives and then the kids. Before in Chumash, we learned in Perek Lamed Aleph, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says he took his children and then his wives on the camels. So Mefarshim ask, over there, we say that he took his kids first, then the wives. And here he took the wives first and then the kids. Why is there a different order? So some of us should learn the Torah is not particular in the order. I mean, like this, either way was fine. Other Mefarshim learn, no. The Barbanel learns that he took the wives first, that the kids should be able to keep an eye on their mothers in case, God forbid, anything happened to them. We find a similar thing later on in Chumash. In fact, somebody once asked the Rebbe a question, and it sounded like a little kid. By Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to Mitzrayim in Parsha Shmos, it says over there, he put his wife on the donkey and then his kid. So somebody asked a question to the Rebbe. We find by Tzaddikim, it says first they put the kids and then the wife, in order of putting on the camel. So the Rebbe answered that over there the kid was just born, he didn't even have his bris yet. How can you put a kid on a donkey before the mother? First you have to put the mother on the donkey and then she can hold the kid. You can't put a baby that's a week old on a donkey and then put the mother on. But here this is by the way only in the order of riding and things like that. It doesn't mean a person should give more respect to the kid than to the mother. In the order of setting them down to travel, so first it says first the kids and then the wife. Here the order is reversed. So the Barmanel says the purpose of this is for the kids to keep an eye on the parents. Now the Mefarshim ask, what happened to Dina? Dina was born. And the Torah says he took his 11 boys and put them he crossed them the bridge. What happened to Dina? So Rashi asks, where was Dina? So it says in Rashi, is one opinion, that Rashi says that Dina Yaakov Avinu hid. Why? Because he didn't want Esav to see her, because he might fall in love with her and want to marry her. And then Rashi says he was punished for that. Why? Because if Dina would have married Esav, she would have made him do tshuva. Unlike, we'll soon learn that when the Esav finally came to Yaakov, it says the mothers went first and then the children. By Yosef, it says first Yosef went and then Rachel. So it says, why did Yosef go in front of Rachel? To hide his mother from Esav. But over there, she was a married woman, so she couldn't marry Esav. But here, Dina was a girl. So Yaakov Avinu was punished because if Dina would have married Esav, she would have got him to do tshuva. So he's punished. That's one interpretation according to Rashi. Other people learn, for instance, Radak learns that Dina was included in Leah. The mothers with the daughters go together. So the mothers included the daughter, Dina, and then the boys were separate. It's in the one interpretation. The Mefarshim. Well, why? He could have married her. The Mefarshim asked, how could you blame a father for not wanting his daughter to marry Esav? Okay? So he brings down from the Musar people, he says the masters of Musar learn that at least it should have bothered Yaakov that he did it without feeling. He should have felt bad that he has to hide Dina from Esav. But he should have felt a little bit bad for doing it, and Yaakov didn't. Huh? Right. That's the way they learn. Yeah. That Bechlal, you're right. That you should know that in Chumash it's not at all mentioned. They're not at all mentioned. So as far as the Psukim in Chumash, you're not going to have that mentioned at all. Right. Rashi mentions that before. So according to that interpretation, none of the twin sisters are mentioned. Why? Because they were, so to speak, inferior, whatever reason it is. In fact, Rashi later on in Chumash comments that when it says that 70 people went down to Mitzrayim, so Rashi says, what happened to all the daughters that were born? So you have to say they all died. They all died before Yaakov went down with the family to Mitzrayim. If not, they would have gone down too. But not everybody says this, by the way, that twins were born with the brothers. Rashi himself brings on from the Medrash two opinions. One opinion is that twin sisters were born with each of the boys and they married the other one's twin. Or another interpretation is not necessarily that there were twins born. They married girls from Canaan, because the question, who did the boys marry? So basically, even that, not everybody agrees that twins were born. But one thing is for sure, Chumash for sure doesn't mention it. So Dina, Rashi is asking the question. Dina is mentioned clearly in Chumash. So the question is, what happened to Dina? The other girls, they probably were there.
How I can marry Canaan if it's around don't marry with Canaan? It's forbidden to marry.
Only Davis were not allowed to marry Canaan, and the Shvatim did. According to that opinion, the Shvatim did.
As Yehuda didn't.
Yehuda married Basish Canaani. For the Shvatim, it wasn't wrong. Nobody said it was wrong that he married the Basis Kanani. For the Yavis, for Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he didn't want girls from Kanan. But the Shvatim, they all married Kanani girls. Tamar was also from Kanan. Rashi brings down later, the one opinion is that all the brothers married girls from Kanan. That's so they married. Rashi brings on both opinions. When it says when Yosef was taken and sold, so it says all the sons and daughters got up to comfort him. Yeah. It says Vayakumu Kalbana v'chol b'neisav l'nachamei. So Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda Eimer. This is the only place Rashi says it. Achi is to umis neldim kol shevet v'shevet. Twin sisters were born. That's what the daughters are. Dam nechem yamed no knan saw you. They were not. Elo, why does it call b'naisa? Because the person calls his daughter-in-law daughter. But Rashi, that's the only place, which, by the way, later. So even according to Rashi, Rashi's not going to ask the question now. Like the Rebbe would always say, the kid now, as now in Chumash, doesn't know about that. He doesn't know the twin sisters were born. Later on, when he gets to Parshat Vayeshev, then he'll find out the twin sisters were born. But like this, he wouldn't know. Okay, Vayikachem, he took them, Vayavirim esanachal, he made them, he passed with them over the stream, Vayavir esakol ashalei, and he gave everything with him. And he sent everything with them. What does it mean by Yikochem by Avinu Mesanochal? So the Radak says, first Yaakov Avinu tested the waters to make sure they were not too deep. And then he passed it, took everybody first. Okay, now, what do you mean by Ya'aver? It's singular. He passed over, so he had all those servants and everybody. So it says Yaakov Avinu was like the bridge, taking things from one side to the next. Okay, now starts a very important pasuk. Vayivaser Yaakov levade, Yaakov remained alone. Vayavek Yishimei, and a man fought with him, and we'll soon see who this man is. Adalei Seshach until dawn. Now, the pasuk itself, Vayivaser Yaakov levade, Yaakov stayed alone, and everybody knows the story. The angel came to fight with him. So the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim, well-known Rambam writes, this is all a vision of a dream. There was no actual angel, no actual fighting. So they ask on the Rambam, how could it be that he became lame in his foot? So he says that was in the dream itself caused it to happen. But according to the Rambam, Meir Nevuchim, basically this whole fight with Yaakov and the angel didn't happen. It was a vision of Nevuah about Goyim fighting Jews until the dawn, right before the coming of Mashiach. But besides that, most people explain, like Rashi says, who is this Ish? This Ish is the angel of Esav. The Samach Mem, as he is known as. There's an interesting word that Mefarshim say. Later on, when Yosef, I point to the, turn to the right page. In the later on of Ayeshev, when Yosef, you know, went to find the brothers, Yaakov sent Yosef to find the brothers, and he got lost. Saying Eseya Basada, he got lost. So it says over there in the pasuk before that, Vayim Tzoeyu Ish, a man found him. A man found him wandering, and he said to him, can I help you? So he said, I'm looking for my brothers. So over there, Rashi says, who is that man? Ish, Gavriel. The angel Gavriel. Rashi's quote the pasuk because it says, oh, Ish Gavriel, the man Gavriel. So when it says Ish, it means a man, Gavriel. So now the obvious question is, so here it also says Ish. So how do you say Ish means the angel of Esav? How do you get the angel of Esav if Ish means Gavriel? So the answer is very interesting. It depends on the context. In Vayeshev, the Torah is speaking about a Jewish kid being lost, in the sense physically and spiritually, a Jewish kid lost, and a man comes to him and says, can I see that you're lost and confused? Can I help you? So over there, it has to be a good angel or Gavriel. Here, the pasuk is saying a Jew is all alone. Just like over there, Yosef was all alone, lost. Here the man is all alone, and the guy comes fighting him. So obviously it's not going to be Gavriel. It's going to be an angel of Esav.
This good angel Gavriel called him when Yosef was sold.
What?
This good angel that came to help Jewish kids called that Yosef was sold.
Right, because Hashem wanted it to happen.
But it's not so good angel.
It's a very good angel. Gavriel's a very good angel.
God wanted to stop
him. Yeah,
God wanted it to happen, but the man fighting is not good.
And
that was an indirect, and this is direct. So it's Yaakov's fault. Forget it. It's Yaakov's fault. He told Yosef to go see the brothers. If he wouldn't have, the ACLU would have sued Yaakov. Because if Yaakov didn't send Yosef, the brothers, the whole problem wouldn't have happened. So everybody should go blame Yaakov for doing it. Now Yaakov shouldn't be blamed, because if Yitzchak didn't have him, he also wouldn't be around. So then he wouldn't sell it to send Yosef to check with the brothers. I mean, come on, what's going on over here? The story in Chumash is, the kid lost, there's a man trying to help the kid. Okay? Trying to help the kid. That is a good angel, Gavriel. When there's a Jew alone, and he's fighting, that's a bad angel. Now, Rashi asks, why was Yaakov all alone? He had so many people, he passed everybody over to the other side of the river, and he ended up alone on this side of the river. So Rashi says, a very strange statement, he forgot pachim ktanim, he forgot small jugs, and he went back to get them. He went back to get them, and he ended up fighting with the angel. The obvious question is, everybody knows, Yaakov is a very wealthy man. Very, very wealthy man. Okay? Yaakov is in the middle of a dangerous situation. So he forgot some small jugs. For this, he go back. Yaakov Avinu goes back for small jugs. I mean, this guy was a wealthy man. He's in the middle of a war. Right? His life's in danger. He's going to go back for small jugs. Parenthetically, when the Alter Rebbe was running away from Napoleon, as it's known, in Tereitzu B'Istamas, which is when the Friedrich Rebbe was involved in Russian. But the Alter Rebbe, during the early 18th, in the war between Russia and Napoleon, So we mentioned many times there's a whole fight amongst the Jewish leaders who should win. Reb Baruch Mezhebush wanted Napoleon to win. The Alter Rebbe wanted that Russia should win. And the Alter Rebbe was helping Russia out a lot without those stories. So as everybody knows historically, when Napoleon came into Russia at the beginning, Napoleon was winning. And the Russians had to withdraw deep into Russia. And deep into Russia, that's when the Russians turned around, and they conquered Napoleon. The Alter Rebbe ran away from Napoleon, because Napoleon knew that the Alter Rebbe was helping Russia. So the story is that when Napoleon was coming, the Alter Rebbe ran away, and eventually passed away Chavdal Tevis because he was running away from Napoleon. So the Alter Rebbe left town. The Alter Rebbe left town, and he sent back one of his chassidim to burn down his house that he left behind. And right after the chassid burned down the house, Napoleon came into the city and right away went to the Alter Rebbe's house to get something. Why? Napoleon was a mechashif, a witchcraftman. He was a magician. And in order to do witchcraft on a person, you need an object of theirs. And the Alter Rebbe realized that Napoleon is going to want to do witchcraft on the Alter Rebbe, and he needed an object of the Alter Rebbe, and he would go to the Alter Rebbe's house and find something. So Alter Rebbe sent back the chassid to burn down the house. But normally, as a rule, the question obviously is, why should Yaakov Avinu go back for some small jugs? So Rashi says, Rashi doesn't say, but the Mefarshim explain Rashi from the Gemara. Why is it? Because by tzaddikim, they love their money more than they love themselves. Why, the Gemara says? Fishem peshkin medeim begezel, because they don't steal. So they don't steal, so everything they earn is meaningful to them, you know, because they work hard and everything has meaning. But this obviously doesn't answer the question, how is it possible that Yaakov Avinu, in the middle of a battle, should go back for small jugs? So according to Chassidus, the explanation is deeper. When Hashem gives a Jew something, when a Jew gives a Jew possessions, when Hashem gives a Jew property, possessions, the purpose why Hashem gives the person the possessions is they have to utilize it to serve Hashem. If they don't utilize it to serve Hashem, then they are wasting something God created in the world. Like this, the Gemara says, Hashem doesn't create anything for no reason at all. Everything Hashem creates is for a reason. If a person has an object, the purpose is to use it. That's one of the reasons, according to Chassidus, why the Torah says there's an Issa Baltashchis. Baltashchis means you're not allowed to destroy anything for no reason, because if Hashem made it, it's for a purpose. If you're destroying it, you're destroying the purpose that Hashem made for it. If Yaakov Avinu, and this is the greatness, by the way, of Yaakov Avinu in the time of danger understood that those small jugs that Hashem gave me, I have to use. And if I'm not going to use it, I'm not fulfilling my mission in life completely. So Yaakov understood it's not the monetary value of the small jugs that he went back for, but Yaakov Avinu Pashit went back because he had to utilize those jugs for the sake of Kedusha. And if he wouldn't have gone back, he would have... In fact, the Daskenimi of Balatesis brings down when it says Vayivasir Yaakov Levadai, he says a Beis and a Chof look alike. So he says change it to Vayivasir Yaakov Lechadai. Kad is a small pitcher. He says Vayivasir Yaakov remained Lechadai to get his kad, to get his pitcher, his small jug. What's the lesson in this? In this aspect, this pasuk is a very great pasuk, by the way. I mean, all pasukim are very great, but this is a lot of lessons. There are many things in life that people think are minor. They're not important. And if they're not important, forget it. You know, whether it's mitzvahs that people think, this mitzvah is not that important, it doesn't matter if I don't do it or not. The Rebbe emphasizes in the Haggadah, according to Chabad custom, why is the first question of not chametz and matzah like everybody says, but we do matbilin? The first question the kid asks, all other nights we don't even dip once, and tonight we dip twice. So the Rebbe explains, why is that, what's the importance of that question? Because dipping the karpas in salt water, what the kid saw, is a very small, minimal custom. Karpas in salt water is not the mitzvah, it's not biblical, it's not rabbinic, it's nothing. It's a minik. What has to be stressed by children is the little things. The little things that seemingly are the minor things, those have to be important and emphasized. Yaakov Avinu teaches us over here, there's no such thing as, like people say, oh, I have an hour to kill. I mean, yeah, that's an American expression. I have time to kill until the flight, until my meeting. I have time to kill. The Torah says, but Yaakov Avinu teaches us there's no time to kill. There's no objects to kill. There's an object, whether it's minimal, whether it's an object, time, mitzvah, you know, relationships exist on the little things, not on the big things. Marriages exist on the little things you do for one another, not on the big things. Relationships of friends really exist on the little things that they do for each other, not the major things. And this is what Yaakov Avinu is the Pasuk is teaching us. Yaakov Avinu was willing to risk his life, and he ended up fighting with the angels, just that a miracle happened and he won. Okay? And the Mepharshim are going to ask, how could an angel not beat Yaakov? Isn't an angel stronger than a person? And we'll soon see about that. But Yaakov Avinu teaches us, for small jugs, you go back. There is no such thing as a little thing. Everything in life is important. A minute is important. A small object, everything is important. To the extent that Yaakov Avinu, on his level, was willing to risk his life to go back to get it. It's a very, very important lesson, Bukhlav. Another important lesson over here is, a Jew has to know, in fact, the Medrash uses the Pasuk. It says, Vayivasir Yaakov Levadai, Yaakov remained alone. And as the Mepharshim also say, the Pasuk, Ki Nizgav Shmei Levadai, the God is alone. A Jew has to know, in fact, here he brings down in the whole overview over here about this aspect of the Medrash that he quotes. Here. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu, just by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, V'niskav Hashem Levadai, that Hashem remains alone, and Hashem is great alone. The same thing, V'yakiv, V'yivasa Yaakov Levadai, Yaakov is also alone. In this week's Parsha, and the Rebbe emphasized this so many times, in this week's Parsha, Bilam, when he wants to curse the Jews, the greatest brachas of Bilam is when he said, Am levadad yishkein uvagoyim lo yishashov, that the Jews are a nation alone. Vayivasad Yaakov levadi means a Jew remains alone. And that is the existence of the Jew. God v'niskav Hashem levadi, Hashem remains alone, and a Jew is alone. When a Jew starts mingling with other nations, that is the downfall of the Jew. Vayivasa Yaakov Levadim, in the Kalyoka elaborates a whole bunch of things over here, who this Malach was and what the fight is all about and this whole thing. But he says, I mean, what the Mepharshim basically point out, a Jew has to remain alone. Like the Rebbe said many times, the Rebbe gave an analogy of oil and water don't mix. No matter how much you're going to mix the oil and the water, they never remain mixed. They are different. The Jew is the oil. The other nations are the other liquids. The Jew is separate from all the other nations. If the Jew remains alone, then they remain existing. If the Jew mingles with the Goyim, God forbid, so then they don't exist anymore. Vayivasid Yaakov Levadai refers to the Jew in the world. Vayavik Ish Imei, and the angel of Esav fights with him Ad Haleisa Shachar, all the way to dawn. Meaning, throughout the entire night. Night symbolizes Golus, the exile. The Torah lets the Jew know. And like the Ramban said many times, everything that historically happened to the Jews happened first Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What's Yaakov doing? Yaakov is fighting Goyishkeit the whole time. And the Pasuk says, Vayarki Layochalei. The angel saw, and we'll learn the next Pasuk to discuss both aspects over here. Yeah, so the same thing. What? There's another opinion, I should have mentioned it, that the jugs was the oil that Yaakov Avinu had, that he anointed the Mizbeach, and this was the oil that he was going to use, so he went back to get that. Yeah, but that's not the simple meaning of the Pasuk. The simple meaning of the Pasuk is, he went back for things which are incidental, not important at all. Yeah, some people say he went back to get that oil, whatever. Okay, so now Vayari, the angel saw, Kilo Yochale, he was not able to get Yaakov, so to speak. Vayiga Bekaf Yerechei, he touched in his thigh. He said he struck the socket of the hip. Vateka Kaf Yerech Yaakov, so the Yaakov's hip socket was dislocated. Vayavke Ime, when he wrestled with him. And here's another interesting thing. The Pasuk is telling us, Goyishkeit tries to destroy Yiddishkeit. It will never happen. It can't be. The only thing Goyishkeit could do to a Jew is dislocate the foot. Dislocate the foot, which means the lowest part of the Jew. You know, the action of the Jew, that they can dislocate and move out of its place. But the Yiddishkeit of the Jew, he can never conquer. One second. Okay. So that's basically the point, that Goyishkeit wants to destroy Yiddishkeit, but the only part that they're able to affect is not the essence of the Jew, but only the foot, you know. The action of it. The Baal HaTurim says, why did the angel want to hit him in the foot? What did he want to do by it?
It's not the foot, it's the hip.
The hip, hip, hip. Yeah, but the hip symbolizes the foot. What? I know, but... Huh? What?
It's not that close.
It's the foot, it's from the foot, from the beginning of the leg down.
Beginning of the leg.
We're going to discuss why, because there's the mice with dissimulation, which comes, the yerach, when you speak about children, you say from the hip, because that's a more refined way of speaking than from the place that children come from. But let me go one thing at a time. The Baal HaTurim says, what did the angel want to accomplish by making Yaakov a blemish in the foot? That he wouldn't be kosher for the sacrifices. So then it would have to go back to Esav. In other words, Yaakov stole the rights from Esav. So now the angel wanted to disqualify Yaakov from being able to work in the base of Migdosh by making him a blemish, so therefore he wanted to hurt them in the foot. The Ramban, one second. The Ramban says, it refers to the future Yetzi Yerech Yaakov, because the destruction, in fact, in this week's Parsha again, when Bilaam left, and he told Balak, listen, all I can do, I can give you advice. You want to get rid of the Jews? Get the non-Jewish girls in. Get them involved. And therefore, right after Bilaam left, it says, the Eden left and lived in Shittim, and they started fooling around with the non-Jewish girls. And the Pinchas story, so it says, what did Esav want to do? By hitting and dislocating Yaakov's Yerach, which symbolizes his children, the Yetzi Yerechei, like it's called in Hebrew, the children that come from the hip. So what he hoped to do, symbolizing by hurting the children, that's the way he can destroy Yaakov. You know Yaakov, kila yuchalai. Yaakov is not going to be able to conquer, to destroy. So Esav, Malach said, okay, let me set up with his kids. So symbolically, by hitting the thigh and moving it, dislocating it, he wanted to hurt the children of Yaakov. So that's why the Torah is using the concept of Yerechi. Yeah, but if Yaakov, the patriarch, couldn't do it, so then it would lose the whole... The kids only had it because Yaakov would have it. But if Yaakov didn't have it, he wouldn't do it. Okay. But Yemer and the angel said... One minute. I left off something very important. Vayayavik Yishimei, in Pasuk Chafei, what's this expression, Vayayavik Yishimei? Simply means he fought with him. But Rashi says, why is it used, Vayayavik Yishimei? Avak is dust. When two people fight, they kick up dust. Right? When you're fighting in the mud, in the sand, so you kick up dust. So that's what it means, simply, Vayayavik Yishimei, they were fighting with him, bringing up dust. But he brings on over here a whole bunch of things. Okay. Now, taking everything, who's this? The Rashbam. Rashbam learns, why did the Malach fight with him? Why did the Malach want to make Yaakov lame in the foot? The Malach meant only good. Yaakov was in the middle of running away from Esav. Now, he was fleeing from Esav. The Malach wanted that Yaakov shouldn't be able to run to see the way God's promise of saving Yaakov would be. In other words, Yaakov was running because he didn't know what to do. Yeah, Hashem promised Yaakov nothing's going to happen to you. So the Malach made Yaakov not be able to run away, that Yaakov should see that God's promise stays as a promise. The Rashbam says that. Yeah. But here it says, okay, it brings on a whole thing over here about going up to Kisei HaKavod. One second. But they say now that when he went in the middle of the night, he was running away. Here, the Medrash says, Amr Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, the Gemara says, Amr Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi said, Melamed, this pasuk teaches us, Shehele avak margalesam, that when they were fighting, the dirt of their feet went all the way up at Kisei HaKavod until God's throne of glory. What does it mean? So he brings down the Rashba, symbolizes the following. The Rashba explains this as follows. What does dust do? Dust makes a covering. When something is dusty, when there's a lot of dust, you can't see if it's gold or something worthless. Because it's dusty, so you don't see what's underneath it. Here's a symbol of good and bad fighting. And it gets to a point that they want to make good and bad equal. That's full of dust that you can't see it. Obviously, the Jew has to understand that that's no good. We have to blow away the dust to be able to see in Yiddishkeit what's good and what's not good. So therefore, Yaakov and Esav are fighting into the concept of emes, because Yaakov Avinu wanted to prove what the definition of truth is, that even when something is dusty, but we have to know the difference between good and bad. And therefore this symbolizes Vayayavik Yishimei. What did the Malach want to do? The Malach wanted to make Yaakov so dusty that we shouldn't be able to see the difference between good and bad. Now it comes the morning. The Malach says to Yaakov, Vayayman, he says, Shalchuni, send me, Ki Ola Hashach, I have to say praises to Hashem. So the Gemara in Chulin, I'm just going to read the Gemara. He says, the Gemara in Chulin says, the angel says to Yaakov, hey, let me go, I got to leave. So the Malach says, Yaakov said to the Malach, are you a thief or kidnapper that you're afraid of the light? I mean, what do you mean you got to go? Yaakov didn't know now that it was a Malach. Up to now, he saw a man fighting him. He didn't realize it was a malach. So the malach said to him, no, I'm a malach. And from the day I was created, my time to sing praises has not come until now. And now I have to go for the first time in my existence to sing praise to Hashem. So it says, okay, so the Zohar says, why Epis when the morning came? Because evil forces, as we know, only work at night. Because during the day, which is revelation and light, is when a Jew is connected with Hashem. Daytime symbolizes the connection between a Jew and Hashem. Nighttime symbolizes there's a lack of communication with Hashem. So evil forces come out at night. According to Chassidus, night is Gevura, day is Chesed. And that's how Chassidus explains, you know, when you're sick, you always feel worse at night than you do during the day. So medically, you'll ask the doctors. But according to Chassidus, why is it that during the night you feel worse than during the day? Because daytime is Chesed. Nighttime is Gevura. So Gevura aggravates your illness even more. So you get sick. So the evil forces function at night. Therefore, the Gemara says you have to be careful not to go out alone at night in the dangerous paths of old. Why? Not only because it's dark, you don't see, because the evil forces have more power at night than they have during the day. The same thing with Jews and Goyim, in Golus and redemption. When is the power of the Goyim? During the time of Golus. When it's dark, that's when the forces have. Now it comes the time of day. So the Malach says, I have to go. Because if I miss this opportunity, come back to the Gemara, he's not going to be able to ever sing praise again to Hashem. So now the Yaakov says to him, I will not send you unless if you bless me. What did Yaakov needed a bracha from him? He had a bracha from Hashem. What does he need a bracha from Esav? From Esav's malach? So the answer is very simple. The ultimate purpose is transformation of evil to good. Yaakov Avinu wanted, they got brachas from Hashem. Yeah. Well, why does he need a bracha from a malach if he gets straight from Hashem? He wanted that Esav itself, the malach represented Esav. Yaakov Avinu wanted that the malach himself, Esav himself, should bless the Jew. That is the ultimate level of getting rid of the evil. Not only that the evil doesn't fight you, not only does the evil not destroy you, but the ultimate level Yaakov Avinu realized now is that you're going to have to bless me. As the pasuk says in Gam Eivav Yashlim Imay, that even the enemies become his friends. So now that Yaakov had the opportunity, that he had the angel, so to speak, and the angel says, let me go, and obviously he needed Yaakov's permission to leave. Why didn't the malach just disappear? I mean, a malach could do whatever he wants. He's a malach, he's not a person. Wasn't Yaakov holding him in a way that he can't get out? When Aleis HaShachar comes, when dawn, meaning light, redemption comes, because night is Golus, dawn is day, when Mashiach comes, the concept of dawn, that's when the Jews become in control. So therefore the Malach couldn't leave, because now when Mashiach comes at dawn, then the Jews are in control. So the Malach says, okay, but let me go. So Yaakov says, no. Not only am I in control now, not only are you not fighting me anymore, but you're going to come around that you're even going to bless me. And that's why it's symbolizing the good and the bad. Then the era of Mashiach, not only will evil not get in the way, but ultimately evil itself will become the blessing, the bracha. To the extent, what did he change his name? From Yaakov to Yisro.
So Yaakov was not holding the malach like this on the head. Just...
You mean in a headlock? Yeah. Probably not.
So
again, according to the Rambam Meir Nevuchim, this is B'chal, a whole vision of Nevuah. It wasn't the real thing anyway.
So the malach lost track of time?
No, the malach realizes dawn, he said, let me go.
So why didn't he leave before, like 2 minutes before dawn? He didn't know when dawn was coming?
Because Yaakov is in control. To the extent, I mean, the bracha is an unbelievable bracha. They changed me from heel to Yisrael. What? No one said, what?
There's like a small amount of probably that Jews are born born in both places with no Yiddishkeit?
Yeah, one or two Jews, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, throughout the world, right?
Yeah.
No?
So, how do they recognize their battle? Or, how? If they don't know, how can they?
And the ones that do know, how do they recognize their battle? The ones that are born from and from areas, how do they recognize their battle?
We're learning it.
That's even worse.
Well, we're battling while we learn.
No.
I mean,
their mission, we said many times, do you know there are many people in the world that are Jewish? Because their grandmother, was Jewish. The mother's mother knew someone was Jewish. They know nothing about it. And they're born that way, and they die that way, never even realizing that they're a Jew. Do you know that? Because you hear all these cases, a guy 60 years old, you meet him, you say, oh, you finally let him know that he's a Jew. But there are many people you don't bump into that halachically are Jews.
Right.
What is there? That's God's business. God runs the world. He does what he wants. Let him keep doing it. Their struggle is whatever Hashem gives them for their struggle. If a person is born in a way that they're really Jewish, but they don't know they're Jewish, and they die that way, not knowing at all that they're really Jewish, obviously their mission in life was a completely different mission from Hashem, not to keep 613 mitzvahs. You can't blame such a person that didn't even know he was Jewish to keep 613 mitzvahs. What do you want from the guy? So obviously, that person has a mission, only Hashem knows what it is. That neshama had to come down, obviously, not to keep Shabbos, not to keep kosher, not to keep wear tefillin, whatever it is, because the guy didn't even know he was Jewish. You can't have a complaint to a guy, why didn't you find out you're Jewish? I mean, why should he even think he's Jewish? Their mission is a completely different mission.
Where
next week, there's no class Monday night.
Okay.